Jeremiah chapter 20. I'm going to talk about Jeremiah's apparent depression and possibly his suffering from some sort of bipolar situation. I won't call it a disorder. It's not a disorder, but a bipolar situation, let's say. Now, I reckon that all of us at some point in our lives have either been depressed or have wondered whether in fact we do have some form of clinical depression or some form of bipolar. I'm not saying we do, but I reckon we've all probably had such conflicting emotions that we do probably wonder that. Now, Jeremiah was certainly for sure somebody who had this situation. Look at verse, well, in fact, you read the whole chapter, starting from verse 1 onwards. I mean, he's very desperate and almost collapsing in faith. And then he suddenly turns around in verse 13 and he says, after all that he's said, all this negative stuff, sing to Yahweh, praise Yahweh, for he has delivered the soul of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Now verse 14. Cursed is the day in which I was born. Don't let the day in which my mother bore me be blessed. Cursed is the man who brought news to my father saying, a boy is born to you. Oof. So he's all depressed. And then verse 13, oh, praise the Lord, praise Yahweh, he's delivered me. Then verse 14, cursed is the day in which I was born. This is a major mood swing. And if you go through Jeremiah, you'll see other examples of this, that he is swinging very, very dramatically in the space of, you know, almost mid-sentence. He suddenly changes. Well, was this Jeremiah being bipolar? Did he have dramatic mood swings because he had some sort of mental or psychological condition that now we would call clinical depression or bipolar or whatever? Is that what he had? Maybe he did. Maybe he did. And it just simply shows that having those situations is not at all a reason why God wouldn't use you. God used Jeremiah, knowing that that's how he was. But I'd like to make a couple of comments on that. First is that, all right, so he swings down into depression. Verse 13, sing to Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Verse 14, cursed is the day in which I was born. Well, this cursed is the day in which I was born, and then the next few verses, cursed is the man who brought news to my father saying, a boy is born to you. He's actually quoting from Job 3, but his quotation is not exact. It's as if he knows the passage, but he is sort of quoting from memory and missing a few things. So, in the downswing, and whether or not you are bipolar, diagnosed as depressive or whatever, there is always a downswing in every human life. Nobody, hopefully, just trundles along on an absolute level. I mean, what a terrible life if that's all you've got. No, I don't think anyone does trundle along, hopefully, they don't, on an absolute total level, never up or down. But okay, in the downswings, which happen because we are human, it's the way we are, in the downswings, you are still with God. And in Jeremiah's downswing, he actually quotes the words of Job. So I think you can see how even in depression, in those downswings, they are not sinful of themselves. They are not it's not a moral issue of itself. But in the downswing, stay with God. Think of depressed people on downswings in the Bible. Job is an example, and here you have Jeremiah as another example. Well, that's, I think, the first point I'd take. The second point, I think, going a little bit deeper, was Jeremiah really bipolar? Was he really simply one of those people who's subject to really dramatic mood swings? Well, maybe, but there's another way to look at this, and this is that the prophets were speaking on God's behalf. And their spirit was reflective of his spirit. Not simply, I think, because they were inspired. I think that there was a choice by God to use men who genuinely of their own spirit wished to have his spirit within them. Not always. I mean, God put his words in the mouth of Balaam. But there's different sort of types of inspiration. When a man like Balaam is forced against his will to speak forth God's will, God's word, when he didn't want to. But I think generally with the prophets, they wanted to have God's spirit within them, and so God was pleased to use them. And God had these same feelings. You see it particularly in Hosea, where Hosea represents God. He marries the prostitute Gomer, who represents Israel. And he also has these mood swings, and they reflect the feelings of God, this great love of God on one hand towards the beloved, and yet also this great anger and wrath that that love was abused, as Gomer was going off with other men, getting pregnant, coming to Hosea, say, here you are, honey, you know, here's our lovely little boy. And he says, nah, not my people, that's not mine. You know, you're out sleeping with all sorts of different guys. This is not mine. Reading through Hosea, you read things like, I will love them no more. I will love them freely. Absolute, if you like, mood swing. You read things like, they shall return to Egypt. And then you read, they shall not return to Egypt. You read Hosea telling Gomer, I'm going to destroy you. You're going to get the just judgment for prostitution. I'm going to have you murdered and slain and cast your body out into the bush. And then this great protestation of eternal and abiding love and hope for her. Well, all this was representing God's feelings. Was Hosea bipolar? Was he depressed? Well, I don't think so. I think that he simply loved that worthless woman with all the emotion and the swings that are going to go with loving somebody like her. And so this was reflective of God's feelings. And he says in Hosea 11, what shall I do with you? How can I give you up? My repentings, literally my changes of mind, my repentings, my rethinkings, are kindled together within me. This is how God feels, quite legitimately. And Hosea reflected that. And I think that rather than seeing Jeremiah as bipolar, in the sense that that condition might be understood today, I think you can understand him as reflecting the feelings of God. And yet, I have to say that he does get pretty cranky with God. Verse 7, Jeremiah 20, he says, Yahweh, you have seduced me, and I was seduced. You're stronger than me, and I'm overcome. Well, this word for seduced is the word used in the law of Moses, in Exodus 22:16, of a man seducing or raping a woman. And in fact, the word, when he says, you have seduced me, and I was seduced, you are stronger than me, and I am overcome. This overcome is translated rape in Deuteronomy 22:15. Well, he is saying, you have raped me. I was willing to be used by you, as he says in Jeremiah 15, your words were found and I did eat them. I loved your word. But actually, you took me over. This process of inspiration was too much. You actually raped me. That's what he's saying. And Rabbi Avraham Heschel translates it that way. It's very shocking, I know. It's not what we would quite expect to read. Was he right to say this? Well, no, this is far too crude a way to put it. Absolutely too crude. But that is what Jeremiah says. Let's not miss this. Even the NEV sort of trying to tone it down a bit to avoid the embarrassment, really. You have seduced me and I was seduced. You're stronger than me and I am overcome. Well, yeah, this is all the same, the hint at rape. Well, his feelings of anger with God are pretty strong, and he effectively sort of goes on strike, as it were. And yet he finds he can't. And God tells him, if you're going to refuse to do this work, then you will not be my man. Well, what are we to make of all this? Yeah, sure. Partly the sort of upswing and downswing of emotion and words, etc., was because he was reflecting the mind of God. And also, on one hand, he was speaking for God, against his people and against the priesthood, but he himself was a priest and he himself was one of the people who was under God's judgment, so he felt for them as well. And yet, here he does seem to go too far. He gets angry with God. He uses fairly crude language about God, that, you know, I was willing, but you abused that, you took it too far, and you overcame me. And this is the typical kind of stuff you hear in court cases relating to rape. That, well, did you have a relationship beforehand? Yes. Were you willing? Well, you see, yeah, but to some extent, but not to that. And he overcame me because he was stronger than me. This is absolutely, absolutely the language of the courtroom. And it's shocking. People write the Bible off as boring. Read it. So I say to people who say that, read it. And it's not. It's absolutely gripping. And is this not, to some extent, although I hope we wouldn't express it in such crude sort of terms, is this not how we in our weakness also feel at times about God? That, look, I was willing, but you kind of took me over. And we resent it. We shouldn't do, because the law of God, the principles of God, the covenant of God, these things are not a chain, because man is not a dog on a leash. God doesn't want us to be straining at the leash, seeing, dreaming of every possible loophole, how we might just squeeze past our duty towards him. Not at all. It comes back to something which I think Jeremiah finally lacked at this point, and that is, do you actually love God? If you really love God with all your heart, you will be his willing partner, and you will not perceive his usage of you as rape, as being overcome, as being forced against your will. Not at all. You will be part of a willing, loving partnership because you love him.